Well, Gail, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your article that you wrote, Scalia's Empty Chair and the Senate's Path Forward. This week, it is rumored that the president will, as he said, it's his job to present a candidate, and he's going to put one forth. What are you seeing right now?
Right. There's a really important Politico piece that came out today talking about the White House's battle plan for putting forward a Supreme Court nominee and putting pressure on those vulnerable senators who are basically being called to attack by these pressure of this plan from the White House. And President Obama does not want to give up this opportunity to make sure that Justice Scalia's legacy of constitutionalism and reliance on the original meaning of the text is put to bed. President Obama wants to make sure that his presidency and the legacy of his fundamental transformation of the United States goes for much longer than the end of his last term, which will end January 2017, if he likes it or not. Mm-hmm. But putting a Supreme Court justice on the bench who is in alignment with President Obama's view of the Constitution as a living and breathing document that doesn't really affirm the black letter law of the rights that are written in the text, like the Second Amendment, which you might remember was decided by a narrow 5-4 vote to uphold the individual right to bear arms,
exactly.
President Obama will assure that his legacy goes on for decades.
Well, he's had two picks already, and a third one would be very dangerous because we know he's not going to offer up. I mean, he's got to do what he believes in, and what he believes in, just as you stated, Gail, is that our Constitution is an elastic document. Our founding fathers really didn't mean what they said.
Right. And I think that President Obama has shown that through the picks that he's put on the court already, they are very determined to unwork all of the important legacy that Justice Antonin Scalia left on the court. He was one of the best writers in the history of the Supreme Court, and he really turned the court. He wasn't victorious all the time on all of the issues that he took judicial notice of, but he really made a rigorous effort of all of the justices, including the liberal justices, to make sure that their arguments were logical and at least somewhat based on the Constitution and the relevant law. So he's going to be sorely missed on the Supreme Court, and it is vitally important that the Republicans in Washington who are on the Senate Judiciary Committee and who are in the Senate generally do not allow any nominee of President Obama to come before the Senate for hearings. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell has said very firmly he's not going to allow this to happen. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, where the hearings would be held for any potential Supreme Court nominee, he said he's not going to let it happen. But as soon as the White House goes forward with these attack ads on these senators in more moderate states, it's going to become increasingly difficult for these senators to withstand the pressure that's going to be brought to bear by President Obama with his bully pulpit and his team that will set out to basically change their opinion on whether or not to have hearings on President Obama's nominee.
Well, Gail, you bring out an excellent point, and this is what America needs to be aware of. You know, what is going on? Yes, we have the Trump effect going on politically for the 2016 presidential elections, but you've got all the downline of Republican senators and congressmen that could be affected by Donald Trump being elected president. And this is what, you know, Ted Cruz is insisting. I don't think he's quite articulated it quite as clearly as you just did, but there is a cause and effect relationship, and the president understands this, and he's going to put pressure on these weak links to get his way to, you know, and it's interesting because this is a president who, as a senator, you know, fought tooth and nail against any kind of, you know, last minute nominations of a justice because, you know, they just, you know, traditionally for the last 80 years felt that this was, not congruent and in the best interest of we the people. But yet now he's insisting some sort of high, you know, high self-righteous ground, I guess.
That's right. And any excuse he makes about that is transparently phony. And I outline in my piece where this has come up when a president has nominated a Supreme Court justice in a presidential election year, and that nominee has been confirmed. Two of the times happened under President Eisenhower and President Hoover. Both of them were Republicans under divided government. So they were Republican presidents. They had Democratic majorities in Congress. And what did they do? They nominated Democrats. President Eisenhower nominated Bill Brennan, who was a towering liberal figure on the court, and President Hoover nominated Benjamin Cardozo, who also was a liberal on the court. So President Obama, if he thinks it's really vitally important that we have nine justices on the court before the next president is elected, he could do something like nominate someone like Senator Mike Lee, who is a very experienced lawyer, firm on the Constitution, has argued before the Supreme Court before. There are many, many conservative jurists or even Republican jurists that he could pick from if he wanted, if the fact that he's saying we need to have a ninth Supreme Court justice to make sure that the cases go forward, he could follow President Eisenhower and President Hoover's examples.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. I agree.
Exactly. Well, but yet, you know, and I got to hand it to this president, you know, who's lived a charmed life. There's no doubt about it. You know, he has resorted and relied on his charm all his life. And he tells you things with a straight face that now, after 8 years and not being vetted appropriately by the media, as we've talked about many times, you know, people are starting to see him for what he's worth and realizing, going, wait a minute, his actions are not lining up with his speech.
Right, that's true. And I think that we're going to see that with this effort coordinated by the White House to put pressure on these senators, because you would say that President Obama has been such a, you know, inspiring person who has tried to unite the American people. But this effort to take political operatives and put pressure on senators who are up for re-election in moderate states is not a unifying theme. A unifying theme would be to appoint a Republican to the Supreme Court, as has been done twice before.
Right, and he's the first to say, I mean, interesting, I regret that we have this contention. I could have done a better job at getting along with people. Well, yeah, but you've had 4 years to get this. Why are we at this point, you know,
right,
at the 11th hour? And then even on an 11th hour situation, you know, we had a conversation earlier with Kate Obenshain, who wrote the book Divider in Chief. I said, I'd be interested to take a look to see how many Republicans are written in the guest list, you know, that come in and meet with the president.
Would be great to see, wouldn't it?
It would be quite telling. And of course, as I said, when this president leaves office, I think more of the truth will be known. Gail Trotter, attorney and senior fellow with the Independent Women's Forum. Gail, thank you for being with us.